It's been a long time, but this is Adrian, and I am back with the official GearYourGirl.com podcast. We have a really cool guest today. This is Logan Christopher, and I've known Logan for quite a while now. Just kind of did the math the other day. In a variety of interests we have in common, most of which revolve around strength and optimum health and cool, weird stuff and some other stuff that's actually not too weird at all. But anyway, I recently ran into Logan again, and he has a new venture called Superman Herbs. And you may have seen there's a little tiny banner about midway down the page on GearYourGirl.com right now that links over there. And we'll be talking a little bit about, you might be looking at the picture and wondering, what is that? There's an ant, there's something that looks like an ear, and then there's green pom-poms. So if you've been curious at all about that, we're gonna dispel some of the I don't know. It's not an ear. We'll find out that. So anyway, so Logan, have you set any records for feats of strength lately? I know you pulled. What did you pull with your hair?
I pulled an antique fire truck weighing in at 8,800 pounds by my hair for, what was that, probably about 50 feet or something like that.
That's crazy. And I can attest, Logan still does have all of his hair attached.
I got even more hair now. I'm bearded these days.
This is.
So it still needs to get longer, but I'm thinking, and I probably won't do this because I think it'd be really painful, but I could attach a vehicle to my beard as well as my hair and pull two vehicles at once like that. But that's probably not going to happen. Just an idea.
Yeah, it is attached to your face. I mean, you know, that is something to think about. So, how did you get interested in some of these nutritional items and herbs and adaptogens and those other wonderful things?
Well, for me, it really ties into the whole strength thing. Once I was starting to get into exercise, body weight stuff, and kettlebells and all that, I'm not very naturally gifted in the strength or movement department at all. I was extremely weak when I was growing up and always skinny and all that. I remember struggling to be able to do my first handstand push-up and had to work months to be able to do that. So since I didn't have this basis of strength, I was looking for every little advantage I could get. And so that led me into nutrition. And while studying that, I started learning about these different herbs, certain classes of herbs that are called the superior herbs that are better than just some of the average herbs that most people have heard of, or the cooking herbs, even.
What's an example of a superior herb that maybe we would have heard of, if there is one?
Probably the most common one, at least in the coming from China, would be ginseng. Most people have heard of ginseng because it's such a great herb. It's been well popularized. You can now find ginseng supplements inside of 7-Eleven. However, that is usually very crappy supplements that aren't going to do much or just give you some jittery energy, rather different than what you would get from a good quality ginseng root. But that's probably the most common one that most people have some familiarity with that.
Definitely. All right, so your logo here, I know what it is because we've already talked about it, but can you kind of explain, what the ant is holding and what he is standing on?
Yeah, so this logo, it has three of the different herbs that we have. You have the ant right there. Now, most people would not think of ant as an herb, but according to the Chinese medicine model, lumped into herbs can be, different roots and berries and all kinds of things like that, but also minerals and animal parts. So one of these happens to be, it's a certain type of insect called Polyrhynchus ant, and this is extracted using a hot water extract. So it's not, you don't have to chew ants in order to get the benefits of this, but it's a pretty amazing herb in what it can do for you. It's known as the herb of kings because kings back in the day would take it. It provides tons of energy that you can, it's one herb that you can tend to feel right away when you take it. So as far as working out's concerned, it's awesome for that.
Very cool. I mean, I remember hearing in the 80s about the English department store Harrods having chocolate covered ants, but I'm assuming that's probably going to be a different species than what you're discussing.
Yeah, and you know, this is just the ant that they were familiar with that grew up in the mountains, so it's different parts of the world, they have different size ants. So you may see these tiny house ants, but then you go somewhere else and you see ants that are five times the size of that. So it really can depend, and that's going to be one of the factors in there. And then there's probably great benefits to ants all over the world. You don't have to just get them from China, mm-hmm. but I would probably avoid most house ants because you don't know if they've been crawling through chemicals or anything, or other people are spraying them with stuff, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But if you're in a mountain pristine area and there's an ant crawling on you, I say just go for it and eat it.
All right, you heard it here first, folks.
And ants are interesting. They have quite a spicy and sour flavor that might surprise you quite a bit.
Well, I really hate to publicly admit this, but one time in high school, I'm a little bit of a weirdo, and especially back then, I did actually eat an ant just to gross one of my friends out. And it was a very kind of bitter, tangy kind of.
Yeah.
That was a very long time ago, and I still remember.
So, see, here's the interesting thing. There are certain people, it's like, okay, it's an ant extract. It provides these benefits, not a problem. But other people are like, oh, I can't believe you're eating insects. But the truth is, if you go back to any single indigenous human species throughout all of time up until today, insects, it's one of the food groups. We've just gotten away from it thinking we're too good to eat insects. But really, insects provide a whole bunch of nutrition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most people's diets are deficient in a great many things these days. So you'll actually see this more in the coming years. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like insect-based protein powders, a bunch of insects incorporated into foods, quite a bit more in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw that, you know, actually in the past year or two, there's been, you know, some interest in cricket powder protein. And then and with crickets, there's actually a very definite lineage there. Some of the first predecessors, the great-great-grandfather of the what we now eat Tex-Mex taco filling was actually crickets highly spiced. Right. So,
well, the truth is, if you're eating conventional foods like cereals, a certain number of insects are allowed to get into those vats. It just is an unavoidable thing. So the fact is, you're probably eating insects whether you want to or not. So you might as well embrace it and go for it and get the real benefits they can bring.
Okay, so there are now two types of people who are listening to this podcast right now. One group is very intrigued, and the other is pulling their car over or having to stop and take a moment and dry heave. And I apologize to that second group. All right, now you were mentioning, I believe, at one point also carrying in the future insect protein, or am I getting
you? Yeah, we're looking at getting a couple sources of that. We're going to be testing some of that out real soon. Mm-hmm. So, in the future, I'll let you know how that goes.
Very cool. Now, what's you know, how bioavailable is insect protein? Do you know?
That's a good question, and probably not a whole lot of science has been done on this. I would imagine it's quite bioavailable. Mm-hmm. There are, like I said, a lot of historical records, and there are different ways. Like some insects, you're supposed to cook them; other ones, you can eat raw. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about an insect, if you think about it, I mean, you know about the benefits of organ meats, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you eat an insect, you're eating the entire animal, all the muscle, if you want to call it that, and all the organs, everything inside of that. Generally, there are some insects where you'll remove certain parts, but you're getting everything there. That's why they're so rich in vitamins and minerals. And yeah, a lot of them are quite high in protein as well.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad you mentioned organ meats, because I know that you recently, I can't believe that this is now my most popular video on YouTube, is the beef, the heart stew video. Mm-hmm. And it actually has surpassed the video where I'm running around in a bikini in the snow doing a workout and freezing my extremities off. But the beef heart has actually beat that video. So, and you tried the recipe. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I'd say the heart is a more accessible organ, I would say, for most people. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the easiest thing I've gotten into, but I'm trying to incorporate more organs into my diet. My sort of goal right now is just do like one a week. But it really, to in order to make it so they don't taste horrible and will put everyone off from eating them, is you got to learn how to cook them right. The
Absolutely.
I had this heart, and what I'd heard before is grinding it up, and you can mix it in with just other ground meat and make burgers, and you won't even taste the difference, but it'll be quite a bit more nutritious. But I didn't have a grinder, and then you're like, oh, make a stew with it, and I thought that's easy, so I did it, and it was very good, and I ate it over several couple days because it was quite a large heart.
Yes, it is amazing how big they are. I mean, if you think about the animal, of course, it makes a ton of sense. And something, you brought up a really good point. Mixing some of these meats together can be a good idea, but definitely, do a search around the internet to make sure you aren't just going to, waste some meat or make something inedible. I did have a guy tell me that he made the heart stew. And he did it half stew beef and half heart in there, and just to kind of make it more accessible for his family, and they loved it. And so that's something else you can do with some of these meats. And of course, ones like liver with like a stronger flavor, you definitely want to.
I plan on doing that later this week, and what I
Oh,
found worked really well was liver and bacon, because then the liver
yes.
starts tasting like bacon, and that's obviously awesome.
I got a very special lesson on cooking liver from a friend of mine who was 80 at the time, and he was the one person who I said, "Oh yeah, I got some really high quality grass-fed beef liver," and everyone made a nasty face, and his eyes lit up, and I said, "Okay, you are going to teach me how to make this because you're actually really excited about eating some liver and onions, so this is what's going to happen." And the secret, two things. I don't know. You've probably already done this, but if there's a membrane around the edges of each slice, you want to make sure to remove that. It's really gross, so do it under like running water. I actually kind of would just kind of cut it a little bit with a knife and then just peel that membrane off around the outside. You also want to cut out any of those gross little tubes that may be in the slices of liver. And then, very similar to your bacon idea, my friend started it with an electric skillet and put an entire stick of butter in the skillet. Now, this wasn't a stick of Kerrygold butter, it was like a regular size, so you might want to adjust accordingly. But a ton of butter, ton of onions, put that liver in there, and it was great. But the bacon, you're browning the bacon and then cooking the liver in it, or how are you doing that?
It's been a little while since I did it, but that sounds about right. I'll have to look it up again.
Awesome. Awesome. So what are you working on right now, strength-wise?
Strength-wise, actually, I just for a little bit of something different. I'm normally, even though I'm quite strong, I stay on the smaller size.
Okay.
But right now, for fun, to do something different, I am putting on some mass and trying to do so quite quickly.
Interesting.
So that's sort of putting a little bit of a side goal for the strength stuff as I do that. Of course, I'm not just looking for bloated mass that doesn't have any sort of function or strength behind it, but
Right.
I'm building up my size. So that's what I'm working on.
Excellent. I just realized that we only talked about the ant in your logo, not like
Yeah, we got off topic there.
that happens on this podcast quite a lot, and that's okay. So what is he holding and what is he standing on? And I'll try not to interrupt.
He is holding the thing that looks like an ear is a reishi mushroom. Reishi mushroom is one of the top herbs in the Chinese system. In fact, it's probably the most researched mushroom or herb on the planet. It's definitely been researched over here, but much more in China and the areas around there for its many different benefits. I mean, you look at ancient artwork, there's these reishi mushrooms in heaven, all the sages are carrying them. It is just so highly regarded as the one of the top herbs in the world. It's called the mushroom of immortality. It's great for your immune system. It can do so many different things. So we just felt as an herb company, we needed to have this mushroom on in our logo.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he is standing on top of a little branch that has pine needles on it. Now, pine needles by themselves are great, but really what we started with is pine pollen.
Okay.
Pine pollen is an herb that not a lot of people have heard of. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few very interesting benefits about it. Many people that are into health and nutrition have learned about phytoestrogens, right?
Right.
These are estrogenic mimics or compounds that come in plant foods that can help. Sometimes, in some cases, they can help support your hormones, but in other cases, you're overloading the estrogen, which can be especially a problem for men. It can also be a problem for women, but older men, they're getting these estrogenic compounds from foods, but even more so from plastics and chemicals. These are known as xenoestrogens.
Right.
Well, pine pollen has phytoandrogens. Mm-hmm. It actually has the male sex hormones inside of it, because it's actually, you know, the sperm of the pine tree. It's what pollinates out there. And these pine trees just release tons of pine pollen into the air. If you've ever had your car coated in this yellow dust, that's often the pollen from the pine trees. It gets everywhere. And it's actually a very powerful food. Now, I don't recommend you lick your windows if they have this pine pollen on it or anything like that. There are a couple ways to collect it. Or, you know, of course, you can buy it through a company like I have. And this, it's going to be able to give those benefits. It's great for women and men, but definitely for men, it's what I've been calling it is the superfood of the 21st century.
Wow.
Because there are so many hormonal problems, and this thing can directly help you with hormones in a number of ways.
That's interesting. Huh? Yeah, that definitely warrants some future research there for everyone, it sounds like. Pine pollen. Now, it sounds like there's probably a pretty big history of this being used in China or
Has been used for thousands of years in China. Mm-hmm. It's relatively new as far as Western herbalism.
Right.
Looking at it, there's not a whole lot of science backing up these different things. There's just really that ancient wisdom, but based on anecdotal evidence, some pretty amazing effects from it. It's a little bit funny, but one effect we noticed was for men, they seem to, when taking pine pollen, have more morning wood. And morning wood it's not the end all be all, but it is a good indicator of whether your hormones are working properly if you're waking up on a consistent basis with morning wood. So what we notice is a lot of men taking the pine pollen, they would have this effect.
Well, there you go. Again, you heard it here.
Yeah, obviously you can't get the same sort of effect for women, but as far as women taking the pine pollen powder, a lot of them will notice increased energy, better mood. It can help with different PMS type symptoms. So there's a lot of effects there as well, because even though it has these, the male sex hormones, women have those hormones as well. They just need them in smaller amounts. So pine pollen, when you're taking it together, it's also loaded with tons of vitamins and minerals and other compounds like antioxidants. It really can help to balance the body in many different ways.
Cool. Just so long it doesn't give me a beard. I'm okay with how I am. I don't need that.
So here's an interesting thing. I've been talking about the pine pollen powder. Well, if you put that into alcohol and make a tincture, as has been done with many different herbs for a long time, the tincture, the alcohol, will draw out the androgens quite a bit more and make them more bioavailable into the system because they don't need to get through digestion. And they'll just be absorbed into the bloodstream.
Okay.
So generally, it's only recommended for older men to take this tinctured form because it's significantly more powerful hormonally. But as far as the pine pollen powder, it's really good. You can even consider this like a food. It's something you can take every single day, something you can take multiple times a day in pretty good size dosages of.
So, yeah, that's very interesting. Of course, you know, it is pollen. So I saw in your some of your literature that it's a good idea to test for allergies or anything like that as well, right?
Yeah, a small percentage of people are allergic to pine pollen. So in that case, it's not going to be the best thing for them to be taking. I did have one friend that tried it and he couldn't take the pine pollen powder, but he was able to take the pine pollen in the tincture form, and that seemed to work fine for him without triggering any sort of allergic reaction.
That's very interesting. I can just imagine my mom making this face at the idea of eating pollen. She has a pollen allergy, so
Yeah.
I think she'll probably steer clear of this, but it
Well, a
is.
lot of people have heard of bee pollen, and that's a pretty regular superfood found in many health food stores. But yeah, other types of pollen aren't nearly as common. But this pine pollen is becoming more and more popular. It was featured in Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Chef. He talked about it in there. So just more people are becoming aware of this as time goes on.
Well, hey, you know, if Tim Ferriss mentions it, it's going to get out there.
Yeah.
And something else that I know that you're up to right now, and also something that we had talked about at one of the PCC workshops, which, by the way, if people are interested in really amping up their calisthenics practice or adding very effective body weight exercises to either the fitness classes that they're leading or their personal training practice or their own, for their own use, definitely check out the Dragon Door Progressive Calisthenics Certification Workshop. It is fantastic. I'll be at the one coming up in Encinitas and hopefully some other ones too. But anyway, we met up, trying to remember which PCC that was. We were in, it must have been Minnesota or
Was
something.
Minnesota.
That's right. And you started talking to me about some of the mental training strategies that you were using at the time. And I remember getting some great results from it. And you've got a book coming out about that at some point on the same subject. Is that right?
Yeah, that's coming out with Dragon Door as well. It's in the process right now. Can't give a specific ETA, but hopefully soon.
Yes.
It's called Mental Muscle, at least that's the working title this far. And it's really about using a wide variety of different mental tactics, like visualization, neuro-linguistic programming, which I'm a trainer, all these different techniques that you can use in order to really get stronger, often instantly, but to help you achieve any of the different goals you happen to have in the gym.
Very cool. Well, yeah, because I remember the technique that we talked about. It was at the end of a 3-day workshop, and I'm one of those people that, I love to present, I love to teach, but I have to go back and recharge after a workshop. Even after these 3 days, I was physically tired and mentally tired. We were able to, I went and did some handstand push-ups. I think I got just like 3 or something, which was pretty low for me at the time. And then we did your technique and kind of talked about it a little bit, and I went back and doubled the reps and just kind of kept going, and super impressed with that whole process.
Yeah, didn't you do like something like 8 after that, even though you were quite tired after the weekend?
Yeah, I was like, am I counting these right?
That's the thing, what I like to say about visualization, because most people have heard of it, but very few people actually practice it or really practice it to the degree it can be used. So I talk about visualization. I say how you visualize is more important than what you visualize. And there's a lot of detail that goes into this, but you can look at the sort of qualities of what you see within your mind, and that's how your mind is encoding whether you'll be good or not at an exercise. So there's lots of fun things you can play with in there. And literally, I've seen people double what they can do or go from the impossible to possible just after like a couple minute drill where we tweak the visualization a little bit.
Yeah, I don't remember how long we talked, but it was a very short period of time,
Yeah.
and really just exciting concept there, and can't wait to use it with more stuff and be looking for your book for sure. I'll probably make some kind of little banner or something on my site as soon as that comes out, because we'll all want that. So yeah, so other than that, what's next for you? What's on the horizon for Logan?
Well, always working on new things. After I do this little mass gaining, I'll be working for the one arm chin up,
Nice.
just continually learning stuff, continually looking at new herbs to release. So all kinds of fun stuff coming in the future.
Very cool. Well, as soon as you get some of that, insect protein powder, I do want to try that, always into.
I will let you know.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. And your website again was supermanherbs.com.
Yep. And if you people are interested in more of the strength and fitness information, that's at legendarystrength.com.
Oh, that's the one I couldn't remember. Legendarystrength.com. So yeah, Logan's very knowledgeable and into a lot of really neat stuff. So if you're kind of bored with your training, which you shouldn't be, you know, I am sure there's, you know, there will be a collection of words or sentences on there that will totally get you fired up. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, Logan.
Thank you.
Okay.